In the name of our triune God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, I am. Last Wednesday, Trinity Church and I hosted the Wellsville Area Ministers Association here in our building. The association is known by the acronym WAMA for short. I just love that name. As the name says, WAMA is composed of the pastors from the area churches. Now, I am very much aware that I am the odd pastor in the group. Our church is liturgical. We follow the ancient traditions of Christian worship. We are also confessional. We have statements of faith called the confessions that we accept as faithful, accurate teachings based on Scripture. And we are sacramental. The sacraments are central to our worship, and we believe that Jesus Christ is truly present in them. The others, for the most part, don't have liturgy or confessions or sacraments as we do. Not only that, I wear a clerical collar every day, unlike my colleagues. Yeah, I'm the odd duck in the group. Being the host pastor Wednesday, I led devotions. Like any church proclamation, the goal of the devotion is to preach Christ and Him crucified. I wanted to also tell, though, something about what Lutherans believe and teach. We are very misunderstood. When I decided on 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15, as the biblical text that would be the basis for my devotion, I didn't realize that we would be reading that as part of our epistle this Sunday. When I discovered that, I thought that this might be a good message to expand into a sermon and share with you too. Now, you probably have heard much of this before, but it doesn't hurt to hear it again. My usual disclaimer applies here, that this is a true story, it happened a long time ago, and no one here would know anybody that was involved. There was a visitor in the church one Sunday, a young man all by himself. Congregations always get excited when there's a visitor among us. We hope that they're looking for a church and that they'll choose us. The young man told the ushers that he wanted to speak to the pastor after the service, and that was arranged. As we took seats in my office, he said that he wanted to discuss a few things with me. It would have been more honest if he had told me that he wanted to straighten me out about a few things, but I didn't know that yet. He introduced himself as a missionary. I asked him what denomination he belonged to or what church he attended, and there weren't any. He said he'd taken a couple of Bible classes. Now, that was sort of a red flag. Certainly, all Christians are called to witness to Christ. You don't need a degree or ordination to do that. However, the Lutheran confessions tell us that no one should preach or teach in the church without a regular call. What's a regular call? Well, no one can appoint themselves to be a pastor. One may feel called by God to preach, but that call has to be ratified by the church under the direction of the Holy Spirit. Our denomination rigorously trains our pastors. Before ordination, the pastor prospect is thoroughly examined. One can only become a pastor when a congregation calls them, when they say, yeah, we want this guy to be our pastor. And then the office is conferred on one by his predecessors in ministry. A called pastor cannot just preach or teach whatever he wants. The pastor is accountable to the elders of the church and to the district and the synod presidents. The visitor's first point to me was that we should not worship or pray to Martin Luther. Well, he must not have been paying very good attention during the service, because not even once did we pray to Luther or worship him. Luther was a great man. He was an insightful theologian, But he was just a man like anyone else. We worship Christ only. We pray to God alone. One of the main principles of the Reformation that Luther brought up was that we should not worship or pray to the saints. We think of people like the Virgin Mary and St. Peter and Paul and Luther himself as faithful figures that we should imitate. But only God is God, and only He alone is worthy of our worship and praise. Let's call that strike one on the visitor. His second point was that our churches and denomination should not use the name Lutheran. He said that I should go out and rip the word Lutheran off the church sign. So I immediately called Presidents Pingle and Harrison and told them that we needed to change the name of the districts and of the synod, and I instructed our secretary to destroy all of the church letterhead. Well, actually, no, I didn't do those things. But do you know who would have agreed with my visitor's idea to drop the name Lutheran? Luther himself. Luther said he did not want the churches that agreed with his reforms to call themselves by his name. He said, I wasn't crucified for anyone. Call yourselves Christians, not Lutherans. And it was never Luther's intention to split the church into competing denominations. But his opponents called those who followed him Lutherans. They meant it as a slur, and the name stuck. There have been some attempts to rename the Lutheran Church. One suggestion was that we might be called the Evangelical Catholic Church. That's because we're evangelical in that we preach the good news of Jesus Christ, and we are Catholic in that we follow the universal ancient traditions of the church. I really liked that name, but it didn't stick. The world knows us as Lutherans, and that's okay. We can keep our letterhead. Now, that was strike two in my visitor. For his third point, he asked me if I knew that Luther was an anti-Semite, that he hated Jews. The truth is that, yes, Luther did say some very hurtful things about Jews. We regret that Luther said such things. We do not share his opinion. But what he said and why he said it are more complicated than it might seem. Luther was a man of his times, and his times, late medieval Germany, were extremely anti-Semitic. He did not live in a pluralistic, multicultural society like we do today. And anti-Semitism today is not nearly as strong or as nasty as it was in Luther's day. But Luther's issue with the Jews was not racial, it was theological. Luther didn't dislike the Jews because of their physical characteristics or their ethnic heritage. Luther could simply not understand how the Jewish people, who were the first to receive God's word and promises, who were the people that brought the Messiah into the world, he simply could not understand how they could not recognize Jesus as their Savior. Luther thought that when the Jews heard the gospel preached in its purity, they would turn to Christ. And when they didn't, Luther was enraged and said some ugly things. As Lutherans, we are not bound to believe everything that Luther wrote and said. Only the gospel is gospel truth. We look to the Bible as God's inerrant word to us, inspired by the Holy Spirit, perfectly revealing to us the mind of Christ. We confess the three ecumenical creeds, the Apostles' Creed, the Nicene Creed, and the Athanasian Creed, as true distillations of what the Bible says and what we believe. And we accept the Lutheran confessions that were only written in part by Luther, but also were written by other Lutheran seminal theologians. We accept these statements as true explanations of our beliefs, but not infallible as the Bible is. So we respect Luther, But we recognize that he can be wrong. Our faith is in Christ, who is alone perfect and sinless. That should have been strike three on my visitor, but he was going to take one more swing at me. He said that he noticed that many Lutheran pastors were gluttons, and that gluttony is one of the seven deadly sins. So gluttony is something that I and other Lutheran pastors should be preaching against. That struck me as shameless body shaming. There is certainly an insensitive thing to say to a person such as myself. Real low blow. But let's take that apart, what he said, unemotionally. Gluttony is usually defined as an overindulgence in food. But it also includes all kinds of other indulgences where objects become idols. These include things such as luxuries, power, control over others, feeling of superiority, and etc. It would be wrong to assume that every overweight person is a glutton. There are physical and psychological reasons for people to have more weight than the average. Who are we to judge? Now, exactly where are the seven deadly sins in the Bible? They're not in there. The heavy seven were drawn up by Pope Gregory in the Middle Ages. So, what does the Bible say about gluttony? The book of Proverbs warns us that to be a gourmet can lead us into poverty, and Jesus tells us that he was called a glutton. So, my visitor, trying to put me down, actually put me in some rather elite company. And we really should love it when people abuse us and insult us. They did the same thing to Jesus, and it is an honor, as our epistle reading said, to suffer along with him. To bring all this to a point, it is wrong to weaponize Scripture to win an argument. That is overindulging in a sinful desire. We see in the commandment to not bear false witness a charge that we are to treat people with respect, to treat them tactfully, charitably, lovingly. We don't bring people to Christ by attacking them and pummeling them with what we think we know and rhetorically beating them into submission. That just doesn't work. No one knows everything, and we don't even know what we don't know. When we try to play the expert, we often come away convicted of our own foolishness. My visitor came in full of himself and ready to talk and teach. What he should have did was come in humbly and be ready to listen and learn. God tells us not to think more of ourselves than we should. Everyone is our superior in that we can learn from them. And after I've said all these things about my visitor, I need to remind myself that all of these are lessons that I need to learn too. 1 Peter 3:15 tells us to have a ready defense for the faith that is in us. So we read, we study, we pray, so that we can knowingly witness about our faith. And most of all, we put Christ first and choose to know him and know him alone and know him crucified and risen. And may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.